Arthur Golsak, please tell me you can hear us.
I can hear you loud and clear now, Benji.
Fantastic. Good to have you on. So first of all, tell us what prompted you to do a study of influencer marketing.
It's been something that we've looked at for a long time, and that we've wanted to delve into more deeply for a long time, primarily because there is very little understanding of what makes an influencer, and yet there's a massive amount being spent on influencer marketing. So it's a new form of marketing that emerged with social media over time as people tended to get bigger and bigger followings on social media. Many brands wanted to associate themselves with those people with large followings. And the result of that was a modern spin on the old idea of celebrity endorsements. But instead of famous celebrities, you had people who had their own communities in the social media environment.
So, and so this is where you have someone who, you know, they're famous for being thin or famous for being famous or just famous for maybe even doing something useful, writing something, being in the media, whatever it is. And then suddenly they start showing up in their Instagrams with bottles of water with the logo sort of suspiciously facing towards the camera, and taking pictures at famous restaurants, with the food is suddenly so much greater with lots of hashtags. Is that the sort of thing that we're looking at?
You got it exactly right. And in fact, in many cases, they are just famous for being famous because they happen to talk in a certain way. They maybe have a blog or a YouTube channel where they've attracted attention because they're particularly funny or they're weird or they seem to do something that is very unusual. But in many cases, there's very little substance behind it. So what happens when the marketers throw money at these people, that the thinking is that they will post an image on Instagram showing the product of the marketer, or they'll post a tweet on Twitter endorsing a new product or the brand in general, and they get paid per posting, per tweet or per Instagram, or they have a contract that says they'll post a certain number of tweets every month or every week. So some influencers make a huge amount of money. They make a fabulous living out of this kind of endorsement. But what we've always wondered is just how effective is that kind of marketing? And are celebrities really the ideal, or people with big followings, are they the ideal vehicle for that kind of marketing?
And
the biggest conundrum of all is when someone has a big following, independent of what they might have as following for, whether they're famous, infamous, whether they're a celebrity in their own field, as in making music, or whether it's purely on social media where they have that following, the question was, what was the effect of this marketing budget being thrown at them? Were they really enhancing the brand? Were they generating sales? Were they creating a knock-on effect where they amplify the marketing of the brand? Or is it just a one-off effect every time? And there's quite a few people who've actually bought their followers. You can actually buy followers on Twitter and so on. They've clamped down a lot on that lately. But it's possible for you to go to sites where you'll pay, let's say, $100 and you'll get 10,000 followers for that. Those followers will mostly be what they call bots, automatically created accounts, which over time will all vanish. So your following will degrade very quickly. But people who do that purely to show how many followers they have and then get endorsements are the worst nightmare of the marketer, because there's going to be absolutely no impact on the effect or the presence of the brand in the market.
Well,
those kind of influences.
It seems to me, Arthur, that the most effective use of these influencers is when the brand in question actually talks to the community which this person possesses. So if, I don't know, for example, they're a famous gardener, you know, then if you are selling garden tools, then maybe the people in that community will see that and actually respond positively. But if you just kind of, you know, selling random stuff to random people, there's no connection to the brand.
No, exactly. That's one of the issues that was raised by a company called Platinum Seed, which is a digital marketing company that created a platform for measuring influence. And the platform is called Continuon. So we in fact partnered with Continuon to do the study of just how effective is influencer marketing and who are the real influencers. So that was ultimately the question we wanted to answer. Who is really the influencer and which brands have got real influence through their influencer communities? And what we were able to identify through their platform, which is almost an artificial intelligence kind of platform, is that there are people who are trusted in their own communities. And when I say community, I'm not necessarily talking about a religious community or anything along those lines, although it can be. It can be someone who's trusted as an expert or as someone who is a voice of authority in a particular field. It can be anything ranging from Judaism through to
coffee.
Football. Coffee is a great example. So someone who's a massive Nespresso fan but talks authoritatively on it, for example, is going to be a great influencer for Nespresso without necessarily being well known outside of that field. What this study also found is that where brands are using people who are not trusted in a specific field to endorse a product in that field, it has far less impact than an unknown person who is trusted in that field.
Super interesting. Arthur Goslach, thank you so much for joining us and talking to us about influencers in social media.
Thanks so much, Benji.